What's going on, everybody?
We're back to what's going on, and we stop with the high. I like that. The high makes me nervous.
What? High?
Yeah.
Because
I'm so used to you being like, what's going on, everybody? That when you just go high, I'm like, oh no, what's going to happen next?
Well, I'm trying to keep you all on your toes. I hope you guys are having a great day, whatever day that might be that it's going on in your life. Welcome to another episode of The Vile Files. I'm your host, Nick. My name is Nick.
Nicholas.
And I'm joined by my producer, Chrissy. How's it going, Chrissy?
It's going good. How's it going with you?
You know, it's fine. Life's pretty fine.
Pretty fine.
You know, ebbs and flows. We have a fun episode for you. I think it's probably a little different than most of our Wednesday episodes. My guest today is a dear friend, Emma, from Comments by Celebs. If you probably many of you are familiar with that Instagram account, which is really now a brand. It's hysterical. It's funny. If you don't follow it, you should check it out. We developed this very unique friendship over the form of voice notes, and I thought it would be fun to talk about it because I think people are looking for new ways to connect to different people. And while Emma is very much a platonic friend and we have developed this unique friendship, there's value in that. And I think sometimes we have to, as we talk about on the Vile Files, whether it's Ask Nick or on some of our episodes, be open to exploring new ways to connect with people.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just get in a rut of doing the same thing over and over again. And it's also a little bit of insight into, you know, my life day to day, which I don't know if any of you give a shit about, but, you know, it's about a friendship that I have. And hopefully it is a launching pad for whatever world that you guys are living in your lives to maybe, you know, try new things out.
More intimacy in your friendships this way.
Yeah.
It seems like.
So, and then we kind of give an example of what our friendship is based on by talking about some of the nonsense that Emma and I often talk about. And one of the topics that we shamelessly discuss via voice notes in our friendship is the behind the scenes of the Call Her Daddy drama, which is, as you don't know, is a very popular podcast, also part of the People's Choice nomination.
Yes, it is.
I'd love to beat Call Her Daddy.
Yeah, so vote for
the
us.
People's Choice. So vote for us if you want to. I'd really appreciate it. But like, hey, we appreciate just being nominated, I guess. Also, voting does end this week. I hope you have been voting, so please vote.
Yeah.
And it means a lot. So if you have any interest in the Call Her Daddy stuff, we talk about our fascination with it, break it down, and I hope you guys enjoy that. It's certainly different, but we had a lot of fun and excitement talking about it, and it's always just nice to talk to a friend, and I hope that it gives you guys some insight into my world. If you give a shit, I don't know if they do. Anything else that we're leaving out, Chrissy?
I don't think so. Anything new going on with you, Nicholas, besides your voice note friendships? No?
Not that I want to talk about.
No?
No.
Anything new at the house?
The house is great. It's coming along. I'm going to get a new TV today. My dining table is being delivered tomorrow.
Ooh.
Without the chairs, things are coming along slowly. I've got blinds and curtains coming. Very excited.
Ooh,
about blinds and curtains.
You talked to Michael about blinds. So.
I got a guy. I don't know if it's the same guy, but I got a guy. It's a guy who's a friend of a friend, and she hooked me up with her blind guy.
I'm
super into blinds and curtains, and I think it's going to really warm up the place. I got a combination of blinds and curtains.
Well done.
And it's really going to be a dream.
Yeah, we haven't had a house update in a while, so it's good to know.
Yeah, I'm really...
Are you loving it?
Yeah. No. Well, then I got some pool problems. but overall,
you should get another pool boy. Looks like. Didn't you put a video of you as a pool boy?
Yeah. Well, I can clean the pool a little bit, but there's some plumbing that we have to take a look at, which is a little irritating. But life is fine.
Life is good.
Just, you know, People's Choice. We're just.
You know.
Obsessively.
Obsessively. It would be so cool.
It'd be fine. You know what?
I'd be so happy for you.
I'm just, I don't care at all.
I don't. Yeah, not even a little bit you don't.
Don't forget to subscribe, people. We don't remind you guys. And of all the things I remind you, we don't ask you to subscribe. And I hope that you do. And I hope that you check out our Ask Nicks on Monday, our Bachelor Recaps. I hope you've been enjoying tuning in. I know there's a ton of podcast options out there. We appreciate you giving us a listen.
Yeah.
Emma, thanks so much for coming on.
No, thank you for having me. I kind of feel like this is a long time coming.
It totally has. To put it in some context for our audience, as I mentioned in our intro, Emma is one of the two people behind the very popular, is it just limited to Instagram account or just the brand Comments by Celebs?
Yeah, we're trying to do a media company, so I say brand.
Yeah. And it's something that I followed as a fan before I got to meet Emma and Julie. And, I went on their podcast. I think that's how I went on your podcast. And honestly, I think it was something, I don't know if I reached out directly. I was like, hey, I'll be in New York. I know you guys have a podcast. I want to meet you guys. Or when was the first time we communicated?
Yeah, that's what it was. You just DM'd me. You're like, hey, kind of a long shot, but I'm going to be in New York. And we were like, oh, we'd love to have you. And that was a long time ago, though. It was probably almost a year.
It was right when I started Vile Files. So, yeah, it was the beginning of 2019. And then we met. We had like a fun, I don't know what we talked about on your podcast. I had a good time. And then, like, I left. And somewhere along the line, and that what's interesting is, like, Emma and Julie are very you're very cautious about your anonymity, right? In terms of kind of developing your brand, which I always thought was really interesting and respected, but just there is a method to the madness, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, technically, I guess it's not anonymous because, you know, people know who we are. Our names are out there, but we kind of just made a really conscious decision when we started this that, like, we personally didn't want to have any fame. So, you know, our personal accounts are private. We don't do any sort of video stuff. Like, it's just not the way that we wanted to build the brand. I think the idea of fame was kind of intimidating and scary to us. And also, I think we felt there was a longer length if it wasn't so much about us content-wise. So, yes, it's definitely a conscious decision.
Yeah, so I just always thought that was kind of interesting. So, like, when I – what was fun about that is that, you know, when I met you two, there was as much curiosity about the people behind the account, right? Because before I met them, there was always just this correspondence, like whether it was like responding to each other's comments just on social, then there was the DM, and there's always a fascination there. It's like the person behind the curtain, the Oz of it all. And I'm assuming you get that reaction from a lot of people.
It's actually so funny because we'll be at, you know, just an event or something and people will meet us and you can see on their face, they're trying to not show the facial reaction, but then they'll finally just say to us like, wow, this is not what I was expecting. Like before people knew we had a podcast, they're like, I thought you were just some guy in your mom's basement. Like why, what other reason would you have to be so anonymous? Like when we're seemingly normal girls, it's so funny. Early on, people were shocked by that.
Yeah, you're like the Daft Punk of...
Like the Wizard of Oz, though, like kind of too, right?
Yeah. But there's a charm there. And obviously that's... I don't know if that was your goal when doing it, but there's been this kind of... As the brand builds and develops and there's a curiosity there, there becomes more interest in the people behind it. And then that's kind of an added hook or a fascination that people might have.
Like the Sia of it all.
Yeah.
Like it was kind of an unintended byproduct, I guess. I think that's why, you know, for us, that's why we wanted to start the podcast, because even though it's just audio, which I mean, I'm sure you agree, I find that to be a really intimate kind of form of communication. But it was much more of a long form way for us to connect with our audience and kind of give more of a voice to just the content. So I think that's probably a part of why people may like the podcast. You know what I mean? It's a little bit more of an intimate look behind who's running the account.
Yeah. And then still like the fascination of like, I guess it lent to your point, if people really want to know what you guys look at, like you haven't gone above and beyond to really try to be anonymous, but you just don't push it out there. And like people have to seek it out to figure out who you two are.
It's like, That's our joke. We have like three rotating pictures that we use for interviews with magazines or with articles or anything like that. So it's kind of like, I'm sure people have seen roughly 3 to 4 photos, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So anywho, so after I did their podcast, and Em and I kind of struck up this friendship, which really just started by, you know, occasionally responding to posts and comments. Once in a while, I would comment on someone else's Instagram, and you know, I don't know if it was Emma or Julie. And here's what's even more funny, and I don't even know if you know this, Emma, is that after when I first DM'd you guys, I DM'd, obviously, as you know, the Comments by the Celebs account, right? And then I met you both. And then when I left, whatever correspondence I had was through your Instagram account, Comments by Celebs. So I didn't really know if I was talking to you or Julie at first. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just talking to one of you two. And either one, I was like, fine. Like, you know, I met you both. So like, there was a level of trust, I guess. But like, I really didn't know who was who.
That's so funny. Yeah, people say that all the time, unless I'm communicating in voice notes, which, as you know, I do a lot of. But the way that Julie and I kind of split up our roles is I handle all DMs. Like any sort of communication, whether it's email or DMs, that's usually me. So it is funny when people say that, they're like, I don't know, I was kind of was just talking, whoever wanted to answer. I'm like, it was me, but that's okay.
Totally. That's exactly how it was. Yeah, so you guys would either use my comment or whatever. And then there were a couple times where I don't know what it was for, but we started corresponding through DMs via voice note, which you definitely started because it's kind of your thing. And then I was like, this is fun. I mean, I voice note with a few other people. It's always like, oh, I always forget voice note exists until someone does it. I'm like, you know what? This is like a fair way to communicate, because I'm bad at texting. I can't spell for shit. And you know, like, why do I give people the opportunity to critique my texting ability when I can just like voice note it? But I'm only doing it if someone else does.
Exactly. It's so one of those things where sometimes it kind of takes a little to be the first one to do it. And then once you do, you're like, why am I not always doing that? I honestly, to anybody listening, if you're annoyed with texting, just try a voice note and you will see the person in response will really like it. It is such an efficient and intimate and like easy way to communicate.
Yeah, it's great, because you can just, the inflection that you have, the excitement or the disinterest or whatever feeling you are feeling is definitely resonated through, like, obviously the voice note, right? And it's a totally different type of conversation than like jumping on the phone, because it's just like a statement or a fact or an opinion that someone can respond to immediately or in 5 minutes, or like they can think about what you just said and like, let me give it some thought and marinate on that and then respond. It totally changes the dynamic of the conversation, which is all kind of fascinating.
Oh, completely. I actually think, now that I'm thinking about it, because as you were talking, I was trying to remember how we actually started like becoming friends. And I think what it was is, I think in the beginning you started to like, and I was really flattered by this, maybe utilize me in a little as like a creative consultant in a way. Like if there was a post you weren't sure about, or you wanted like a second opinion, and you kind of would ask me. And I remember being like, okay, he doesn't know me that well yet. I got to do it in a voice note, because if you hear me texting it, it's going to come across not the way that I want it.
Yeah.
And that's like why this all started, now that I'm thinking about it.
You guys looking for something to do? Exercise that brain, have some fun while you're doing it. Best Fiends has got you covered.
My airport lifeline, traveling. Best Fiends has saved me.
When you fly to get sex, you pregame.
Yes.
By playing Best Fiends.
Yes, it calms your mind, gets you ready.
Does that cleanse that body?
It cleanses the body.
Best Fiends has a ton of cute and fun characters. They're constantly updating the game, so it's new characters, new puzzles,
new levels. They've got like over 5,000 levels.
Yeah, you can play with your friends offline.
It's better than like, so at nighttime when you can't sleep, instead of like going through TikTok and Twitter and like all those stupid things,
you can use waste 20 minutes on TikTok, literally getting dumber. Yeah. Or you can exercise your brain with fun puzzles, have fun with your friends, be competitive. You can get fresh. You will feel better in those 20 minutes on your phone than you will on toxic social media.
Yeah.
So it's got millions of 5-star reviews. It's on the Apple App Store or Google Play. It has, again, levels, events, challenges added all the time, so you can play all the time, never get bored of it. There's always one more level. Seriously, once you download Best Fiends, boredom won't stand a chance. Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. We all have terrible habits. We know this. You know, sometimes maybe those habits were hardwired into our brain when we were kids.
I mean,
who knows?
Hello.
But we have a chance to form better and new habits, and Noom is helping us do that with our diet to help us meet our goals, our weight goals, whatever they are.
Yeah.
It could be
healthier
weight,
eating.
Could be gaining weight. Could just be feeling healthy. Small steps make big progress. Shavings make a pile, people. You know this, right? I use Noom every day and do it for about 12 minutes because I'm an overachiever.
You're an overachiever, not just the 10?
And it helps me maintain the consistency. I've been able to cut some sugar out of my diet, which
make
I find to be very
choices.
Healthy, and it helps with inflammation. And thank you, Noom, for doing so. Based in psychology, Noom teaches you why you do things when you do it and empowers you with the tools you need to break bad habits and replace them with better ones. We all strap for time. We have very little time. Noom
yes.
just asks you to commit 10 minutes a day for yourself and imagine what you can do. It's just 10 minutes, but such exponential improvements that you can make. Everyone's different. Noom adjusts to your lifestyle. They teach you your psychology behind the decisions you make, then help you keep track of everything from workouts to steps to analyzing your diet and recommending healthy recipes. So you don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/VIALL. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/VIALL to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/VIALL. And that's when I really started to form this friendship with Emma because, you know how sometimes you ask someone's opinion and they're just like, yeah, sure, totally. You know, and you're like, okay, well, I was hoping for a little bit more of an in-depth critique. You know, and if you like, as you know, my listeners might know, and Chrissy knows, if you ask my opinion,
yep,
I'll put things down. I'll be like, all right, lay it on me. Tell me what you think. Let me think about it. All right, here are my thoughts. And I'll break it down, right? And so Emma does that exactly like how I do that. And then we really quickly struck up a rapport because I was like, oh, this is someone who's like feedback I can really use because she really appreciates being asked some, you know, their advice and will really put in the time and effort. And to me, that's a very valuable thing. I have a handful of people in my life who do that. and so it's, you know, just it really kind of struck up this friendship specifically and only via voice note.
Because both yeah. of you love to critique things.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're so right. That's such a good way to put it. It's like sometimes you ask someone's opinion and they'll give you back a one-liner. And I'm genuinely not capable of that. Like someone asked me a question. I really want to dive deep. And I said this to you before, but like, you know, we've had this conversation a lot of times before I really knew you. Like, I think there was this completely untrue perception that I had of like, I don't know. What about him? Maybe he's a bit of a dick. I didn't know.
Yep.
Like, that's kind of what I thought. And then I saw this side of you when we first started talking and I was, you know, like I said, kind of maybe your creative consultant in a way. And it was a much more like vulnerable, incredibly self-aware side. And I was like, wait a second, this is what I had in my mind is completely untrue. And so I think it was actually crucial to developing the like relationship that we have.
Yeah. I mean,
literally just that conversation before we started. Crazy. It's so crazy.
It's just exhausting. I exhaust myself.
You exhaust yourself. Misunderstood, Nick.
Anywho.
So that's
kind of what made us think about doing this episode because there's always some topic that we'll generally have around things, and we're in this time of a pandemic, 2020, and even before the pandemic. The way social media is, there's a lot of downside to technology that we talk about. But people are like lonelier and lonelier, right? People talk about different forms of relationships. And here Emma and I, just to put it in context, so then we developed this like friendship, right? We would be sending voice notes. Again, what started with me being like, hey, what do you think about this? And then there are a couple of times where she'd be like, well, what do you think about this? And then it just kind of turned into like things going on in the world, pop culture shit, dumb shit, like things that were just like, hey, are you like paying attention to this in the news? And then one of us would be like, oh my God, yes. And then we would spend, you know,
30 minutes
or an hour, but like breaks, right? And then we would just be like, on a voice note, I'm not 100% sure if I was walking down the streets of Manhattan where Emma lives and you bumped into me and like, what's up? I would like immediately know who you were. Yeah. Because like, I had met them once. They're not like out there. We didn't follow each other on like.
Maybe from her voice, I would think.
It'd be like that 6 seconds where she'd be like, hey, what's up? And I'd look at her with this glazed look, be like, what the f- do I know you? And then be like, oh my God, you know, but that's what would happen. And then because like I was getting to know this person and getting closer with them. And it was kind of this fascinating social experience for myself. And then like, you know, we follow each other on Instagram. And again, it was always this like unique friendship, right? Like, and I want to stress too, because like there's so many different types of friendships and relationships that people have, right? And I think now in a time where people are getting lonelier, we have a way of kind of judging what types of relationships are or things like, and we don't always embrace the type of friendships that come our way. And for me, this was like an intermittent friendship that would, you know, and sometimes we wouldn't have any communication for like 2 weeks. And then there would be one of us would be like, hey, are you following this shit? Like, and then we would like kind of catch up. Emma has her life. I have my life. We're not like ride or dies, you know, like she has her romantic relationships and, you know, I do my thing. And you know what I'm saying? Like,
kind of.
Totally.
So like it's kind of this unique friendship that but it's also something I've really grown to value. And I think it's like, I think there's a takeaway there for people who are trying to look for different ways to connect with people.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, I so agree with everything you said. And I also think like, during this time, I mean, we kind of, I think we're talking pre-pandemic, but like during this time, you really have to start to reconceptualize what you view as like your friendships, because seeing people as frequently as you wanted to just isn't going to happen. And so for me, I feel like just being open to that idea of like, maybe it's coming in a form that I didn't necessarily expect. However, is it adding value to my life? Like, that's the way that I personally evaluate my relationships. Is this adding value to my life in some way? It doesn't have to be the deepest way in the world. Like, is this the person I'm going to go to if I break up with my boyfriend? No. But is this someone that I really have like very intellectually stimulating, fun conversations with and like sometimes, you know, can make my day? Yeah. And so to me, I think it's all about just like redefining what we view as like communication with friends, you know?
Totally. Right. And it's a kind of a non-traditional way, but you're right in terms of, does it add value, right? Is it a way to, I mean, there have been nights where I was just like bored and I had like nothing to do. And then there was a thought of like, you know who I haven't talked to via voice note in a while? Like I would never call Emma ever. Like I would never call her. I would never FaceTime her. It'd just be fucking weird for me. I don't know if you would even answer, but I'd voice note you and I'd be like, I'm going to have a great night because I'm going to talk to this person about like something that I'm interested in. And we tend to have the same interest. And it tends to be a very feel good experience in a very specific way. Again, that's like, it has a very specific niche for like, I think the both of us, that's like completely outside of our normal day to day life, like our romantic relationships that we have or our friendships that we have. And it's just like another vehicle of friendships, which I feel like, I don't know, in a world where like, don't dismiss that if you have a chance to have those types of friendships. Clean air, baby, clean air. It couldn't be more important. We also want to smell good. We want to have our house smell good. And sometimes we need some things to help center ourselves. Focus on our breathing. We've talked a lot lately about focus on our breathing, and essential oils can help you do that. So whether you're rolling it on, applying it right under your nose and your temple, or diffusing it in a diffuser, to have clean indoor air have USDA Organic Essential Oils. Natural Habits specializes in blends that can help with headaches, relaxation, focus, support your immune system. 30% off. Code Chrissy, K-R-I-S-S-Y.
Yay, it's my favorite code.
30% off. Free shipping. NHOils, plural. NHOILS.com. NHOils. Putting code Chrissy.
I made a new mixture with the oils. I take the center now and I put it into, or the rise, and I put it into a little water bottle for traveling.
Okay.
And so when I travel, I can spray it.
Great.
Around me.
Yeah. Nice little air mist. Yeah. It's good for car.
It's good for the car too. Car, yep. So I have it in my freshener. Purse. I could go get it out for you.
Be healthier. Be organic. USDA or essential oils. Natural Habits. You're welcome. Now there is a caveat to this type of relationship that we're suggesting you might be open to. Have met this person in real life. Because this is really potential of a catfish opportunity, which is so bizarre. I will say, that's the scary thing about catfishing is again, here's this person and that I've struck a friendship with over not being sure entirely who was who at first, but going along with it. But I had met them and et cetera, et cetera, as we just all explained. But I had met Emma, I knew she was a person. I knew she ran an account and just be careful when you meet someone on a dating app or online, they slide in your DM, make sure they're, you FaceTime them at least once, or their camera's not broken, because that I don't want to be advocating for catfishing happening.
No, that's I feel the way we're talking, Neve Schulman is listening in. He's going to do a PSA on this episode of do not listen to a fucking word they said.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Yes, that's a very important clarification. Definitely know who the person is. But I'm telling you, I say this to people all the time, and I tell you, we've gotten hundreds of DMs, because I say it so much on the podcast, of people being thank you for telling me about voice noting, or for making me use it, because now I've developed such close relationships. I know it sounds minor, but I'm telling you guys, try it. And also, by the way, Nick, and this does not apply to us because our friendship is very platonic, but sexually, I have had some of the most explosive communications sexually with people, because what you can say in a voice note, you can't say in a sext. And it's a whole other world.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was literally just about to say this. Em and I are very in tune with our brains. We do that a lot where we're in total agreement. But I was about to say that, yes, our relationship is exclusively and very platonic. But I was about to suggest to the people listening, in an early dating situation, if you want to try something new, voice notes is a really great way to communicate. And again, it's unique. It's different than texting. It's different than FaceTime. It's different than getting on the phone and calling. It's just this slow burn and kind of an ASMR type of thought process.
Can you save them? Can you save voice notes?
You can. Oh. They usually just go away unless you do save them. They're there until you listen to them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it depends.
Man, are you asking this because you want to say something really nasty and dirty, but you don't want it to be there forever in your voice?
Well, maybe.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's
do you know what I'm saying? It's well, I might feel that way right now, but do I want somebody to play that for their friend at the bar later? Probably not.
I mean, do you have an answer to that? My thought is, one, if you're voice noting with someone in an early dating situation, slow burn it. Don't sext or voice note sext or talk dirty right off the bat. There, build some trust.
True.
And then when you do start doing that, just don't have them say, build this hey, this is a safe zone. We're not saving these type of thing.
And
Don't admit to a crime,
No, it's a great question. And people, this is a really important thing to know. In your settings, you can put on whether, if you have an iPhone, if you want to always keep them. So if you notice, anytime you send me something, it says kept. And for me, that doesn't happen with you. And I say to you sometimes, if you say something I just want you to know, I'm deleting this, so don't worry. That's just my natural setting. But yeah, oh my God, you're right. Definitely proceed with caution. But I don't know. I've gotten some serious testimonials from people being that just changed my sex life.
No, totally. And again, it's a way to really slowly get to know someone, right? Because think about in an early dating situation, sometimes there's this pressure of when quarantine started, right? There was this let's Zoom date. I'm going to embrace quarantine. We're going to Zoom, or we're going to FaceTime date. And then you get Maybe your first conversation's a good 30, 45 minutes. Maybe it's an hour and a half. I don't fucking know. Maybe we're just, but then like the second or third time, you kind of run out of things to talk about. And in no matter who you are, you kind of like wonder yourself like, oh, I'm like, do we not vibe or whatever? And sometimes it's just like too much too soon, right? Sometimes there's this pressure of having this conversation. The beauty of a voice note is that like, you can just be like driving and be like, hey, I thought about this and I wanted to share it with you. What do you think? And then maybe they get back to you right away or maybe in 30 minutes, right? But like it's a long drawn out conversation and you can have like a really neat topical conversation that you could maybe get done if you had to in 20 minutes on the phone. But you do it over the course of a day in voice notes and it just kind of like drags it out in a kind of nice, slow burn way all while you get to know someone.
Yes. The best way that I can put it is it's like the best parts of your phone call put into this like very kind of concise version that somebody can open on their own time. Like that's the best thing. The pressure of deciding when to talk on the phone or when to FaceTime someone is exhausting or can be exhausting. And the casual nature of this and like it being so pointed and so on your own time, oh my God. Like I feel like I just want so badly people listening to take this in because it changes things. It's a game changer.
No, it really is. And again, platonic or otherwise, it's just a unique way to communicate with someone that it really is something that shockingly hasn't been discovered. One of the conversations that lately Em and I have just really talked at length about and we thought we would break it down for you guys since it's topical to at least, well, a large group of people, is the Call Her Daddy drama that's been going on the past several months. And I only bring this up just because like this is a perfect example of I'm certainly interested. I've certainly am followed. But it's like for me, it's become this thing I don't really ultimately care about, but it is a fascinating thing because not only do I know both the women, they are guests on my podcast. This is in an industry, and it's in the podcast industry. There's so many things that I am interested in, as well as Emma. And so, like, it's for me like a TV show of something I don't really care. Like, it's water cooler talk. And yeah. Emma is that friend I have where we just, like, we will break it down in a very objective way without, like, there's no sides. There's no, like, I'm not a fan of the show that they have in the sense where like, or like a Bachelor fan, like a lot of fans will pick sides, which is what's going on in that world. But it's just been this really fun thing that we both talk about.
Oh, exactly. We're not personally invested. You know what I mean? There's no emotion behind the conversation. It's much more like, and I think that this is relatable to a lot of people. Like it's just a fascination because, and you know, when all this drama came out, we did a full breakdown, like an emergency breakdown on our podcast about it. But I think seriously, like I had a, you know, 17 page outline that I made of like every, I transcribed things. It was intense.
She's very thorough. But,
yeah. Very.
She is the,
is she a Virgo? Yeah.
Are you a Virgo?
I'm a Libra.
Well, so am I. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. That actually makes a lot of sense. She is the play-by-play, and I'm the color commentator because, like, she will definitely give me the let me break this down for you, which is kind of the role I feel like you and Julie play on your podcast.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's something, you know, because Julie a lot of times will do, like, Julie makes the actual outlines, and then I'm the one that kind of breaks it down, and then we get into a discussion. We just work better like that. But you know, something about this story that I think, you know, let's say you don't care about either of these people. You weren't a listener of the show. At the very core of it, the thing that was so unique here that we do not see a lot, we see people fighting. Okay, we see drama. What we do not see a lot is the way that this, from a business perspective, has been broken down so transparently to us. You know, like you have Dave Portnoy, who is the head of a huge media company, getting on. This is back when the drama was happening in May, right? Getting on the Call Her Daddy feed, doing an entire episode, breaking down the behind the scenes of a business deal. So you have a very legitimate, very lucrative business playing out like a reality show. That is not something we see that often. And that is why I think men, women alike, non-binary people, everybody is just so interested in this.
Before all this drama started, I looked at the show and I people who talked about it, even the women, I asked a lot of questions. It's because you're just trying to learn, right? And I wondered, well, how much money do they make? You know, they do they own their IP? What is their contract? Are they getting paid, as we always keep hearing from the women who keep talking about this compensation, is like fair market value and things like that. And I remember thinking to myself, I bet they're not getting paid. My guess was the show got too big so fast that they're probably on the short end of the stick as far as their deal was concerned. But that's part of the success that they had overnight, right?
Oh, totally. I mean, nobody anticipated that it was going to get this big. You know, it was kind of a, you know, in retrospect, it makes a lot of sense, because what they were talking about at the very, you know, at the very, very beginning, like, and again, you don't have to be a fan of the show. There was a shock value there. It was these two attractive women talking in really vulgar detail about sex. And whether or not you liked the content or consumed it, you can at least understand why it was like addicting or entertaining or shocking. And so looking back, it actually makes so much sense why it was such a big success early on. But yeah, they had no idea. The infrastructure wasn't there for what was about to take off. It was kind of like Barstool taking a chance on this podcast, putting all of their advertising power behind it. Of course, it was Alex and Sophia that made it happen. You know, it was them that were doing the magic. But the combination of everything was not, I don't think, what any of them, anyone, Barstool, Alex, Sophia, anyone else expected.
Totally. And so it was like, to that end, when Dave was talking about like the contract, you can think what you want, but when he was talking, I was, while thinking they're probably not getting paid what they deserve, is a tricky word, because I just, you know, in a ratio of terms of their download versus like people in the industry, what they might be making, I assume they had kind of a shitty contract. But that's not necessarily their fault, and it certainly wasn't Barstool's fault, right? It was like, hey, it blew up so fast. And, you know, you hear what Dave would say, and you're like, well, I don't, like, why does he have to give money away he doesn't have to, type of thing. And so, you know, it was such an interesting thing, because Alex and Dave were talking a lot more than Sophia was. And to Sophia's detriment, that's where you felt like a lot of the tide was shifting in terms of like Team Alex and all this drama that was going on behind the scenes.
Yes, that's exactly what was happening. Because back in May, when all of the drama was really going down, I'm not going to do a whole rundown, because I think if you're listening to this, you kind of have an idea, but let me just give you like 1 minute kind of to bring you up to speed. This whole thing goes down in fucking flames, okay? Dave Portnoy, the president of Barstool, gets on the Call Her Daddy feed before anyone else speaks and breaks down exactly what happened. Okay. He was really in a bad place with Alex and Sophia. However, he had worked out this deal with Alex. Okay. That happens. We then see Alex release a full YouTube video outlining play for play exactly what happened. And her story and Dave's story were exactly the same. She does, you know, she's been in media for a while, so she does this YouTube video well. She says, guys, from now on, I'm solo hosting the show. The only communication that we got from Sophia in this time was one Instagram story where you could tell she was terrified, understandably so. This girl's going through the emotional distress of basically the entire internet coming at her. And then what made it so additionally interesting was that Sophia's boyfriend, and kind of the irony of this entire situation, is like, their entire podcast was based on like, fuck men. You know what I mean? Men are trash. No way. And then Sophia's boyfriend was the one who, from the story we were initially given, caused the downfall of this. He got involved in a place that he maybe shouldn't have. And he was then the target. He was, you know, Barstool was putting out merch, fuck Suitman. It was this whole entire hate campaign against Sophia and her boyfriend. And the irony of it was like, men aren't even supposed to ever fuck up friendships. That's what they had preached. So the internet went into a fucking tailspin over this entire situation.
Yeah, no. And that was just kind of the fascination of it all. It was just, and we've talked about this. What was fascinating, I think, for you and I wasn't so much the podcast itself, but again, it was the reality TV feel of it. Like, what these women seemed to create wasn't a podcast, but it was a reality TV show in podcast format. You know, they talked about their lives so much. Like, so much of their content wasn't about, like, yeah, they gave advice, but whether it was scripted as Sophia had suggested, or it was authentic stories, it was a storytelling about like, I've done this shit. This is what happened. When this happens to you, well, this is the crazy ass shit we did. And it became like this show, right? It just became this show that you were just like, it was a Kardashian thing, right? It was fascinating that way, where like you just every week you tuned in to like what's going on in Sophia and Alex's world these days. And that was what's, you know, to me that was like their secret sauce.
Oh, totally. Because that's what really elevated it. You know, it's one thing to hear two, let's say, faceless, nameless people talking about this stuff, but then the added bonus of like, wait, they're not only going to talk about it hypothetically, now we're going to get the inside scoop of what's going on in their lives. And I think people became addicted to that. Like you said, it was a reality show in podcast form. And there was that whole fascination. So then when their friendship kind of collapsed, people felt really territorial, which side or the other. And then like this happening is what made us, I think, do this segment of the episode, because on October 9th, after Alex's first solo episode, just for context, aired on May 26th, okay? October 9th, so that was months later, Sophia comes out with her first solo episode. She's a new podcast, Sophia with an F.
Which we all kind of knew was coming, right? It was just a matter of like, when is Sophia going to show back up with a podcast?
Exactly. I think we were all kind of waiting for it. She was gone for a while, so some people thought maybe not. And she names her first episode Sloot, a short autobiography. Keep in mind, the description of her episode was basic, greedy, lazy, submissive, weak-minded, and that's just a little bit about me. So if you are somebody that's been following this, when all of the drama went down, that's what she changed her Instagram bio to. So when people saw that description on her episode, they were like, oh shit, what is she about to say? And I think, you know, we'll get into her episode in a second, but I think her coming back was what you and I, we just went into like, we have to talk about this.
Yeah, because it was like, you know, from a strategy standpoint, it was like what we were really curious of what did Sophia come up with in these past few months and what is she going to say? I wasn't so much interested in what she was going to say because like I wasn't invested as some of their fans were in terms of the drama, but I was invested in the, I guess, the business aspect of it or just the podcast aspect of like what decisions were, how are they going to both respond to this drama that they willingly or unwillingly found themselves in? Are they going to use this to like, you know, market their own show? Or are they going to try to get away from it? Like it, that was all the fascination. I feel like both of us had, but certainly that I had.
Oh, totally. I probably was a little additionally interested because I had listened to the show, I think, more than you had. But yeah, completely. You know, we're also podcasters. Like we said, neither of our podcasts, thank God, you know, we're so grateful they do well, but they're not Call Her Daddy level at all. So it was kind of like you're interested on all angles, on the podcast angle, you know, friendship wise, et cetera, for me. So she drops this episode and you guys have to understand, like, before it even went live, when it was just her kind of teaser, she already had 21,000 reviews, 21,000 ratings.
For a 60-second episode, basically, a trailer. Like my I still don't have 20,000 reviews.
Right. Like that's unbelievable. That's why my point is like you don't have to like them. You can absolutely hate the content. You have to at least appreciate the enthusiasm of their followers.
Yes.
Okay. She drops this episode and basically she says, you know, guys, I'm back. I'm back in my hometown of Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm recording this out of my mom's closet, which is relatable to me because that's normally where I record my podcast from.
Closet, not Salt Lake City.
No. My mom's closet. Yes. Yeah. And she, you know, gives a little bit of an update. She speaks about the toll that the entire situation took on her. And she then, and I think what everybody was the most curious about how she was going to handle it, did an entire section dedicated to Alex. And in it, she spoke directly to Alex. She read some of their text messages exchanges, you know, some that she texted Alex didn't respond to. She said, you know, how did you let an entire media conglomerate form this attack against me? She said, you know, basically that Alex would, these are her words, that Alex would topple over anybody just to get her way. She then brings up MILF Hunter, who was a male perspective they had brought into the show early on. And in this first episode, Sophia claims that, you know, Alex had a huge falling out with him. We learn to find out that he actually worked at Barstool and has since had a falling out with Barstool as well. So now you have Sophia and this male perspective that was kind of a behind the scenes on the show on one side, Alex and Barstool on the other. And Sophia continues to go about saying, my boyfriend had nothing to do with that. You know, how the fact that people thought that I would let him make decisions for me is total bullshit. She says she's never going to speak of Alex or Barstool's name again. And she then kind of you may criticize the decision, but you can at least appreciate the honesty of when she says, to be honest with you guys, I have no idea what the show is going to be. And she kind of just rambles. And I don't mean that negatively. I'm saying like, she really didn't know. And I think that, you know, at the very least, you can respect her honesty and her transparency in the rest of her episode.
Yeah, it was all kind of interesting for me when I, you know, and Emma was like, she knew I was like, I might not listen to the whole thing, but she insisted that I do so we could talk about it. So I did. And I will say, like, I didn't know what to expect, but I was captivated by, obviously, the segment of Sophia talking about Alex. And almost, and more so because, again, for a period of time, it was only Alex and Dave talking about Sophia. And we didn't see anything from Sophia other than this Instagram story, which she, quite frankly, didn't say anything, right? And exactly. And it didn't help out Sophia, right? So here you have Alex and Dave being very articulate and very specific about the story. Their stories line up. And then Sophia comes out and doesn't really say anything, which it came across, quite frankly, as she has nothing to say because, you know, Dave and Alex are right. But yet, then she comes back and has a very, very specific and thought out approach. And she sets up a very, very direct things about Alex, which, you know, it was more like, and then I thought to myself, well, this whole time, I guess I was, I don't want to say team Alex, but I appreciated Alex's point of view only because I was only hearing Alex's point of view. And then all of a sudden, Sophia had a new point of view. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many of the Call Her Daddy fans did Sophia, you know, give a moment of pause to, right? When they finally heard Sophia, how many Call Her Daddy fans were like, oh, well, maybe, I don't know, you know, because when it was going on, they were probably, you know, 50-50 in terms of like the fans loved them both equally is my guess. I don't know. And that was kind of fascinating. Like, how did people react to that? Her.
No, totally. And okay. So the thing here that's so interesting to me, and like, I personally find that just to be like a better podcaster, I try to look on Reddit and on Twitter just to see what everyone's saying. And like a kind of consensus that a lot of people think is like the way that Alex laid it out, she was attacking Sophia's business strategy. She was attacking the fact that she allowed her boyfriend supposedly to get in the way. And she was attacking the way that it went down from a business angle. Sophia on her podcast was directly attacking Alex's character.
Yeah.
And so while, you know, on Sophia's podcast, she says, you allowed a character assassination against me. That's true. There was a whole hate campaign against Sophia. However, it was much more targeted at like the stupidity in her apparent decision-making when it comes to business versus Alex got on. I mean, Sophia got on and said, Alex is not a good person. She ruins any relationship. She'll step over anyone to get to the top. And I think what I was seeing on Twitter, because I'm kind of like just an innocent bystander watching this all go down, there were definitely some people that had a little bit of a shift. Some not. Some are going to be diehard Alex stans, but I think some people were like, wait a second, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, it was clear that, you know, you even look at some of the reviews, it was like a lot of 5-star reviews and a lot of 1-star reviews. And the 1-star reviews, you know, that like you talked about, the people who gave 1-star reviews before they heard the episode were people who were like, I'm going to do this for Alex. Like it was an unobjective, like, you know, look at all the, like the wars between the Selena Gomez fans, the Taylor Swift fans, you know, like it's just they're just supporting their girl, you know, whoever their person is. And so, and again, you can say what you want, but there is the enthusiasm, there is, that's the currency, the excitement. All you want people to give a shit. Like, you know, I want people to care about my show. You know, you don't even have to agree with me. I just want them to care. And what these two women have for these respective shows is people who just give so much shit about it. And that's fascinating. You know, like, and here we are, Em and I are, you know, on our voice notes just be like, I don't totally get it, but I'm impressed. It's just wild, you know?
Exactly. Oh my God. I mean, for those of you that are on TikTok, I don't know if your feeds look like what mine was. I was trying to tell Nick and
I'm not on TikTok as much, but
yeah. Yeah, you weren't as, but for me, it's like, you know, you're on this massive platform and every single video after video is just people discussing it and taking sides and kind of that general thing of like, I don't even know where I land, but I care. And, yeah. You know, it's funny because it's not funny actually, but what I was wondering when all this was going down with Sophia, like when she was silent and people were just coming at her, I wondered, is she going to come back, or did this kind of scare her from the experience of podcasting or being in the limelight in general, because she really saw firsthand how quickly people switch up. You know what I mean? They were diehard fans of the show. And then all of a sudden this happens, and so quickly they are diehard Alex stans and hating her. And like, to me, you know, I was just terrified for her mental health. Like, whether or not I think she, what she did was right business-wise, like that's a terrifying spot to be in. And so I didn't know if she, if that was going to scare her off from even coming back. And like, I don't know if you felt this way, but in her episode, I think you could tell in her voice, she's not 100% comfortable with that hate, understandably so, who would be? But like, I think she's still taking time to get used to it.
Oh, totally. I mean, what she went through, and I can only imagine, I had no conversations with her, but like someone who's been on reality TV and have an audience almost trained to pick sides, and then whatever, and if you're on the opposing side, like people will come after you and it's hard.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's so much there. And like, the first thing that I want to say, because I think it's important, is like the reason that these attacks, I would imagine, felt so much more personal was because this is not somebody that's like casually talking about, you know, some fluffy subject for 30 minutes. She is telling the innermost details about her sex life. She is telling the audience literally the most vulnerable, vulgar details about what goes on when she is having intercourse. So then for those same people who now really got to pull back the curtain on her and got in so deep to turn on her, I think was scary. Like, whether or not you agree, you know what I mean? I didn't really take a side. And then just the other thing that I want to say, because I want to talk a little bit more about her, this most recent episode, and kind of just like the strategy behind it. But I think this is an important general note of like, I talk about this with my therapist a lot. We as humans are not built to withstand that type of attack. Like, yes, we can handle it. You know, most people, not everyone, of course, but if you are, you know, mental health is in a good place and you have people that you can talk to, it's, you may be okay. However, we're not meant to withstand that. We as human beings, the number one thing we want to feel is safe. We want to feel safe and we want to feel comfortable. So when your safety is ripped from you, one, that's really scary. And second of all, the biggest misconception that I really have learned to understand with like, and again, not me because I'm not famous. I try everything to not be, but like just with generally getting criticism or getting trolls, I think people always say, toughen up, whatever, fuck the haters, don't focus. And that's the goal. People are striving for that. That's not true, because the same part of you that gets offended by hurtful things is the same part of you that has that capacity to love. Like, your empathy comes from the same place that your sensitivity comes from. So the goal isn't to become this hardened person that isn't affected by people's words. It's to understand like, okay, that was hurtful. However, it doesn't define me. But I just think that the way that consumers have viewed strength is completely flawed. Strength is not caring. Strength is like being able to, I think, understand that it isn't a reflection of you, but it's still hurtful, you know?
I totally agree. I also just want to point out, I really love how you had a very thoughtful and inspirational monologue all while recapping Call Her Daddy. The irony there, I think, is quite poetic. But I totally agree. I think that's the human side of all this drama. But getting into what you said about like this new episode with Sophia, her second episode, she was like, oh, I'm gonna have this MILF hunter guy on, which, all like, what a great move strategically, because everyone was gonna be like, I don't care if I hate Sophia, I'm going to listen, right? That's the beauty of like, you just want people to care, and it was a perfect cast because everyone was going to care, right? And so then it was like, what are they going to talk about? And people had three specific reactions about the potential of him being on there. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a little bit confusing, because in her previous episode, she said, I will never mention Alex or Barstool again. So then when she brings MILF Hunter, who we know had a huge falling out with Barstool and Alex, everybody's expecting, is this going to be a huge attack, which is going to be incredibly hypocritical to what she said? Are they going to completely steer away from it? Is he going to be the co-host? You know, there was a lot of kind of, I think, curiosity. And then when he comes on, really, for the most part, it wasn't about that. They gave us what, maybe a minute or two?
Yeah, no. I mean, it was a very specific, with listening to the episode, it seemed like it was smart. You know, I've done stuff like that. I'm going to have this person on because I know it's going to create a buzz. But we're going to talk about something maybe they're not what they're expecting. But I'm going to get them in and hope that what we talk about is great. It's captivating, not what they expected, but it brings them in. And then we get them to stay by talking what we want to talk about. And that's clearly what they had planned, trying to stick to their word about like not bashing Alex and Barstool anymore. And then just getting into what it seems like both of them plan on talking about in future episodes. I guess my biggest question, having heard this whole drama and the questions I had about the Call Her Daddy show in general, is, again, having this idea that what it really is a reality TV show in podcast format. And you know, my audience can relate because I always get asked that question. Is The Bachelor real? How much is real? Is it staged? Is it scripted? Blah, 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 blah. And I guess I have those same questions about the Call Her Daddy podcast now more than ever after listening to Sophia's first episode, which she said things like scripts and Alex had scripts and that's fine. I don't care if she does, but it's like, and that's what people wondered, because as you told me, Emma, these were episodes where these women would talk about like, well, if you cheat on your boyfriend and you get an STD, they had what, let's be honest, a very not great way of trying to get away with it, which was basically trick your boyfriend into like a threesome and then give him this STD that you got and then blame it on the girl that you invited into the bedroom. Like, that's kind of a fucked up thing. It's totally fucked up. Like, I don't think we're going to be like upsetting any Call Her Daddy fans, but there is shock value there. And my question is that real, or did they just come up with this crazy ass story and pretend that they did this, right? Adding to this kind of craziness that is their life. And Sophia suggested that some of it was scripted. And Sophia, like, it seems like Sophia's goal of her new show is to, you know what? I used to do this, but now I want to focus on women empowerment. I want to, like, use this platform to try to better myself and better my audience, which, hey, I think is great. But she kind of stopped short of fully embracing that. Because, well, I get that she doesn't want to talk shit anymore. I would like, if it's true, if what she said wasn't totally authentic in the past, without talking shit about Barstool or Alex, I would love to hear Sophia say, you know what? Some of this shit I said wasn't true. In fact, it was kind of fucked up. Don't fucking do this, my young audience, my impressionable like 18, 19, and 20-year-old listeners. Like, that's fucked up. In fact, it might be even illegal. It's fucking terrible. And someone who wants to own up the shit that I did, like, don't fucking do that. And she hasn't done that. And I thought that would have been really interesting for her to say. But right. I don't know.
Yeah. No. All really, really interesting points. And to your first one about what, like the curiosity of whether it was scripted or not, you know, that's something that early on in the days before any of the drama happened, everybody asked this because it was so shocking you didn't know. And they never, like, they said, this is really what happened. And I think that that's true. I think probably what happened was a lot of this stuff did take place, but then it was amplified. Like, how do we make this sound funnier? How do we make it sound even crazier? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's kind of where the scripted element came in. I don't think they took it out from thin air, but I think they understood that the toxicity was working. Like, they were open about saying that. Those aren't my words, you know? Toxic advice that was shocking and was, you know, comical, I think people liked. But I think what happened with Sophia, honestly, is like she came out so firm in her first episode saying, when you say these words, I will never utter Alex or Barstool's names again, ever. When you say that statement, you can't really go back on it. So while I respect the move, because I definitely think that that's like the respectful thing to do, I think if I'm talking from like an audience engagement perspective, maybe if she said that the third time, and maybe the second episode with MILF Hunter said a little bit more of how she actually felt, maybe people would have been more interested in that. I don't know. Like, yeah. I'm just hypothesizing here.
I don't
I'm
know
just
either. But well, you. Couldn't she have done it with just saying what she did? Hey, listen. And like, I've said this in the past, clearly referencing what she said in that show without uttering the name of the even the show. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've said this story before. If you've maybe heard it, this is where, and people will know it's came from that. But I think that would have been powerful, because also it would have been a very clever way of kind of, without naming names and talking about it directly, suggesting that in more further detail of, I don't really stand by that. And, you know, and it, again, for those of the people Because, like, let's be honest, Call Her Daddy is a very successful. It has a huge audience. And if Sophia captures just a fraction of it, that's just a win for her, right? For all the people who maybe have been fatigued by, like, in she made a joke about, like, how many different ways can you learn how to suck dick, right? Like, you know, after a while, it's like, okay, I get it. Like, you know. And so that would have been really interesting for her to, like, own up to it, if it is true. I don't know if it's not. I still don't know. I still don't have the answer, right? Say what you want, but, like, I'm fascinated to see what's next for both of these women. Only, like, what do they do with this? How do they decide? Like, the guy who's strategic in me, like, wants to see what choices they make and how it plays out. Like, they had these characters, like MILF Hunter on Call Her Daddy. That's what worked for them. It was the fact that he was MILF Hunter. He wasn't Kevin. He wore a mask, right? And he played this role, and that was a thing. Will Alex bring in and introduce new characters into her world, or will she be able to transition away from it? I don't know. These are all questions, like, as a, like, an outsider, I want answered, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
No, and neither am I. I said that, if, you know, I don't care if it seems superficial or unintelligent. Sometimes you just need an escape, and this has definitely served as an escape. And I agree with you. I genuinely want them both to succeed. And, like, I'm just curious, both from a business perspective, a podcast perspective, and I'm invested a little bit in their friendship, just because I think maybe as a woman of a fellow age who's never gone through something like that with a friend, I'm a little bit interested. But yeah, I have a million questions, and I'm sure a lot of people listening do too. So, like, if you're one of those people, don't shame yourself for caring, because sometimes we're in a fucked up world right now. Sometimes you just need a little bit of an escape and a little bit of something that's going to take your focus away. And I think that that's okay.
Yeah, totally. And it's been my, and that's what's so weird for me is, like, I'll admit, like, I don't listen to every Call Her Daddy episode. I've only listened to a handful per the request of Emma to, like, make sure we're, like, know what we're talking about. But the like, the after show of it all is something that I've been very invested in. And I guess props to them both for creating this world. But it's definitely been my mental escape via the use of voice notes, which, just to sum this episode up, Em and I both highly recommend that you utilize it in your relationships. If you have a current relationship, a friendship, a dating situation, you know, find the beauty of the voice note and how it changes the way you communicate. And quite frankly, like, as you mentioned earlier, takes away a lot of anxiety of communication. Like, it gives you time to really think about it and then make sure that what you're trying to say is actually heard.
Exactly. Beautifully, you
know?
Said.
Well, Emma, let people know where they can find you or Comments by Celebs. Very funny. I highly recommend. They have a Comments by Bachelor account, which is also pretty funny, which I think is hysterical, because often Emma will reach out to me like, is this relevant? Should I post this? I'm not entirely sure. I'm like, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, this is actually a good place to say it. We're actually looking for a temporary position for someone to run the Comments by Bachelor account. So,
oh, well, this is the place to promote that.
Yeah. So you can email bachelor@commonsbycelebs.com. I jokingly said it on Caitlin Bristow's podcast and we got a lot of interest. So now we're actually seriously considering it. But yeah, so our main account is Comments by Celebs. It's exactly what it sounds like. We just post the funniest, best, most interesting or relevant celebrity comments. We have Comments by Bravo, Comments by Athletes, etc. We started a new account with Overheard LA called Overheard Celebs, where we basically post, like, very, I don't know, lighthearted interactions that people have had with celebrities. And then
do you out the celebrities that?
Yeah, it's not, because nothing, it's like our slogan is an anti-gossip journal. So nothing is bad. You know what I mean? It's all just, like, funny exchanges. And then, yeah, we have our podcast. It's 3 times a week. Mondays, we do a full pop culture breakdown, whether you know everything, you know nothing. We kind of inform you, then discuss. We do a Bravo show, Isabel and I, once a week, all things Bravo. And then Julie and I do a Kardashian recap. On Thursday nights, it drops right after Keeping Up airs. We recap scene by scene. If you are somebody that cares about the Kardashians, I'm telling you, you will want to listen to this podcast. We analyze those inner dynamics.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Because didn't they announce, like, yeah, they're done? What's next after the Kardashians? I mean, I'm assuming they'll still be relevant.
Yeah.
And I guess, will you break down their lives outside of the TV show?
Yes, because we do that on the main podcast, but on the bonus show, when they were in hiatus, we went back to season one. So we have 16 other seasons to recap scene by scene after this one ends.
Wow. Well, God bless the work that Kardashians put in so you could podcast for it. Well, Emma, thanks so much for coming in. I just want to say I value your friendship that we have, and it's been good for my mental health. And I hope for the people listening, you can find unique friendships that have nothing to do with your romantic lives or your friendships that are maybe just an escape from your everyday world. And I think it can be really good for you and your mental health as well, especially if you use voice notes.
Totally agree. And I value yours as well. And thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to send in your questions at asknick@castmedia.com, cast with a K. Don't forget to vote. This is the last week of voting for People's Choice Awards. We probably won't win, but I really want to. But we might.
Be optimistic.
You never know. It's all on you, people listening. That's all I got to say. I won't. It's fine. Until next time, thanks for listening. We will see you on Monday.